so we can gain strength from it. Because in the word of God, there is power. So let's just quickly look at Isaiah 58. Even though, let's look at Isaiah 58 and see how we can gain strength from it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we there? I will just take it from verse 6. Since we are in the fasting period. Say, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to lose the bonds of wickedness, or to undo the heavy burdens, or to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. And my prayer is, even as we do this waiting, our light shall break forth like the morning, in the name of Jesus. And our healing shall spring forth speedily. For anyone who is sick among us, even as we wait on the Lord this period, the healing will come speedily in the name of Jesus. Then you shall call, and God will, and the Lord will answer you. In the name of Jesus, all our desires, as we call upon him, he will answer us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It says, and you will cry, and he will say, here I am. The Lord will attend to all our secret and private and open cry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you take away this yoke from your midst, well, we can leave the rest. It's just to support us for the period of fasting for strength. So praise the Lord. So that all our waiting and all our praying will not be in vain in Jesus' name. God Almighty will stand by us. He will strengthen us. And at the end of it, we will go home with a basket of testimonies in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You're welcome, sir. Praise the Lord. So our Bible study today, I've thought about, you know, we've discussed a lot of topics here. And I don't know what else we can share. This church is awesome. We talk about all topics. So today we will just talk about, we will use Psalm 34 and we'll just praise God. Because you can never praise God enough. Praise the Lord. So we're using Psalm 34. And you can title it different, you can give it different titles if you like. But for me, I just put, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. So we can just take it and read. I don't know how many of us here. It's a long verse. It's about 22 verses. We will just take maybe 3 verses each. 2. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. So I read. I will bless. I'm reading from New King James Version, so it may be a bit different from your own version. So I read. It's Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is where the topic is taken from. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. 11, come, ye children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to all those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. That's the last one. And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Praise the Lord. So, like the topic says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I am sure we all can testify to the goodness of God. And in saying taste and see, it's just describing our God to other people, for instance, that don't know him. I was listening to a message of someone. He says, like describing a good meal that you've heard. Like you ate something. Anybody has a favorite dish here that you can describe to someone and say, come and taste and see? Can we hear a good dish that you love? No African dish. That you can say, okay, I want to share this with you. Praise the Lord. So it's about talk is describing our God. That could actually be the topic too. Describing our God. Can somebody tell us what, if they ask you now, say something about God, what would you say? Praise the Lord. To the house. Huh? He's almighty. Give him the mic, please.
Love.
Love, praise the Lord.
The Lord is great.
The Lord is great. The Lord is awesome.
The Lord is mighty.
Amen. See?
He's merciful.
Amen.
Amen. Compassionate.
Amen.
He's loving.
Amen.
He's kind.
Amen.
He's a healer.
Amen.
He's trustworthy.
Amen.
He's dependable.
Hallelujah.
He's the Almighty God.
You see that?
There's no God like him. He's the father of the fatherless.
Amen.
Husband to the widow.
Hallelujah.
He's the friend to sinners.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Great. That's awesome. Daddy wants to say something.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Omniscience.
Omnipresent. To me is Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. It's Adonai to some people, it's El Shaddai to some people. It's, amen. So you see, all of that is a description of our God. So I think this psalm, it was something that happened in the life of David when he was running away from King Saul that wanted to kill him. I don't know, some versions said he like this one on top of my Bible here, it says he pretended as if he was mad when he got to Abimelech. How do you say it?
Abimelech.
That he pretended as if he was mad. But whatever happened, something drove him. Something was pursuing him to that level that he had to go act as if he was crazy so that he can leave. And all of us can testify here that something has driven up somewhere along the line. Some pressure in life. I don't know what it is for. Each one of us is different. As our faces are different, so our needs are different. So our heart desires are different. So our problems and pressures of lives are different. Praise the Lord. So, but in all that we go through, in everything, is it marital, is it spiritual, is it financial, whatever it could be, is it health-wise, this is a psalm that can encourage us, this Psalm 34, as we have read. Say, I will bless the Lord. And as a matter of fact, it's a continuation of our gratitude service from Sunday. Pastor talked about a heart of gratitude, so it's a continuation with it. Praise the Lord. So it's just to say that this is a psalm that can encourage us in anything. And you can bear me witness that life has a lot of issues, these days particularly. When we were coming up, it was a lot easier. When we were younger, that you depend solely on parents, you know. And they, you just need to ask them and they will do. You know, you're like, what's the word? Daddy's princess or wherever, you know. And they just take care of you. But things have changed. So whatever it is that we're going through, this is a psalm that we can always look to. And it will encourage our souls. And I pray that it will encourage us in Jesus' name. So, can we, well, I have a few, reasons. Is it reasons I should call it now? Praise the Lord. Going back to our topic, taste and see. So we have a few reasons that, you know, or experiences that this our Psalm 34 can relate with. And I think somewhere in the Bible passage we read, it says, "Come, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." 11, I think it says, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So, for us to be able to enjoy all these benefits in this Psalm 34, we will have to fear him, fear the Lord. And we're not talking about fear, I was just saying that, oh, he will kill me, or, you know, no. Fear as in reverence, just as we've named all his names. Know him personally. Fear as in respect, as in honor. Even as we go through life experiences, you know, if you fear him, respect him, honor him, he will see you through every experience. And every experience actually make you know him more. Make him more praiseworthy to you. Like if you're running from someone, I don't know how many things have chased us out of our comfort zone that you run. You think, oh, this will happen. Oh, today is the end of it all. And he saved you out of it. You will know him as a deliverer. That is a name for you. Right there, because as you experience him, he reveals himself to you, okay? Like the woman in Genesis somewhere, Haggai, said, "You are God who sees." When she, her son was thirsty, and they were in the wilderness, and no water, and God shows up and gives them water. The angel showed up and showed her somewhere to get water. She's like, oh, you are God who sees. So every experience in life gives him a name. Praise the Lord. So for us to enjoy all of these, we need to have the fear of God. We need to have fear of him and respect for him. Then again, in the same passage, I'm just, you know, like taking it because it's a long passage. I pray God Almighty will explain it to each one of us in Jesus' name. And there's another place that says, you know, I don't want to be taking it like one by one, then we may not be able to finish. It says, you experience him as a deliverer, right? And then the other one is, keep, verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Praise the Lord. We keep our mouth from speaking evil. The tongue is a small, in James somewhere, can somebody help us with that, where it describes the tongue? It's a small member of the body, but very powerful. And with us in our culture there, when there's a saying that says, when you say something, it's like an egg. When you break it, you can't put it together. It's just, so when these pressures of life come and it's pressing us, let us know what is coming out of this, our mouth. Let it not be disgusting. Let whatever is coming out not be disgusting. Let it be pleasing to God. Praise the Lord. So he says, that's verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And we all know that lying is a way out for a lot of us. Lying is a way out. And it's in the Bible that, you know, liars will go to lake of fire, but yet hardly a day goes by without one lie. But for us to enjoy the same benefits, we will have to watch these things. And God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. It says, that whatever is coming out of, even when your phone rings and you don't want to answer it, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't say, I'm in the bathroom, when you're not in the bathroom. Don't lie. God will help us. It's very important. Because sometimes I would have done something, I'm like, why did I even say that? It was uncalled for. Uncalled for. I mean, has no relevance, and yet we'll do it. It's like a way of life. God will deliver us so we can enjoy all these benefits from this verse. I looked at it. It was actually this verse, some, I would say, downloaded to me. And I didn't know what it means until I started to share it with the Bible study. And I probably will understand what it's talking to us today in Jesus' name. So it says to hate what God hates, right? All that God hates. Sin. It's not only lying. We know the rules. We know the commandments. If we don't know it, we can go back and read them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, which is the greatest of all the commandments. Do we do that? Do we love our neighbors? God will help us so that we can enjoy all his benefits. See, this is the reason why things are a bit tough for us, children of God, these days, because we are trying to be like the world, and we cannot be like the world. Like we learned last week, consecration, be separate, be ye separate from the world. You have to try, you have to take extra effort to do it. It's not easy. It takes the grace of God for you to be able to do that. So we must hate what God hates and love what he loves. So we'll go, we'll read everything, and we see what he loves and see what he hates, and we do it. And then another point is we must be able, there's a place that says pursue peace. mercy. Anyway, we read it somewhere there. Can someone help me find that? Where it says pursue peace. NIV, yes. No, I'm reading New King James Version. Okay, it's verse 14. I found it. Verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we must be able to live peacefully with our brethren, everybody, or navigate through fights or conflicts easily. You will not be the one that will add more strength into somebody's conflict. We must be able to make peace. Praise the Lord. Do we want to add anything at this point? So it's not just me talking, because it's Bible study. We can add questions, additions, subtractions. Nothing. All right, so we must be able to live at peace with everyone. Do you want to say something? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So, like, you have two people quarreling, you don't go and add. There's a way to say it. I'm trying to, add fuel into fire. Thank you. You don't go and add fuel into fire. Oh, you heard what that said. Oh my goodness. If it was me, I would cut the hair. I would do it. You know? And then instead of settling this conflict or fight amicably, you now escalate it. You know? We can't enjoy God's blessings that way. We cannot enjoy His, because if you look at all the benefits in this book, I hope when we get back home we can read it again. There's a place it says he sends his angel to encamps around you, those who fear him. So we want to enjoy his protection, his angels surrounding us and helping us and doing stuff for us. We cannot be in all of this. We can't be in it. And God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. So, any questions? Yes, go ahead. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I just want to add to what you said, that for us to enjoy all the good things, we have to fear God.
Yes.
Apart from fearing God, in verse 10, he said, the young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That means we have to seek him for us to be able to enjoy his promises, his protection, and all the benefits. We have to seek God.
Amen.
Apart from seeking God, we have to do good, do what is good. Have to do what is good. It said, let me read it. It said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many things, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil. Mm. And thy lips are speaking God. Depart from evil and do good. Apart from doing good, seek peace and pursue it. Without that, the eyes of the Lord cannot be upon us. The eyes of the Lord will only be upon the righteous, and his ears will only be open to the righteous cry. So that means if we are not righteous and we're not, you know, we are not doing good, we are not seeking him, his ears cannot be open to us. You know, look at the what he says to the to those who do not do good. In verse 16, it says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Instead of blessing, cut them off completely. So, you know, as we read, it's not like there's a, God is not a partial God. If you do good, you're blessed. If you do evil, you're cursed. It doesn't matter who you are. You may, whether you have been born again 20 years ago, the moment you begin to do the, you know, the wrong things, all the blessings will turn to curses. And so God will give us the grace to continue pressing on in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I want to talk about the broken heart, and that he serveth such as be of a contrite spirit, broken heart.
Right.
Some of us are too high-minded.
Bro.
Some of us are too hard. Something that happened 20 years ago, you are still holding on to it. Each time you see the person, it flashes back. And because of pride, you are unable to forgive. Your heart is so tough and so hard. You know? You can't even... God does not... The Holy Spirit cannot work with a heart that is hard. God looks for a broken spirit, somebody who is broken. You know, sometimes I look at real, you know, you see real men of God. When they are ministering, you know, you just see some of them cry. They start to cry. And that tears is running down their cheeks. And if you don't understand, you begin to say, ah, what's this one trying to do, you know? Except you have been there. That is the kind of heart that God is seeking for. It's not how tough you are. Rather, it is how broken that you can be.
Humble.
Because if you're hard, the Holy Spirit cannot walk through you. Because it's a quiet spirit. He comes with a still small voice and is looking for a place that is weak, a place that is meek, a place that is low, a heart that is simple. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that contribution. Yes, my pastor.
Praise the Lord. I just want to speak on the verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. I think this should be a word of comfort for us who are believers, who fear the Lord. See, with all that is happening around us, with all the economic downfall, with all the medical downfall, even when you look here now, I mean, just yesterday, as we heard on our prayer line this morning, the number of people that have died with flu, we would see that there's so many things going on around us, and it's only those that fear God that God can or will deliver. And it so amazed me as I was reading this verse, it brought me back to the account of Elisha and his servant. If you look, I think it's in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to believe, when they were looking for Elisha, and the servant woke up in the morning and found out that there were chariots of horses and things all around about. But the Bible recorded that Elisha said, only if you know. The Bible did not record that God opened his eyes to see. So I want to believe that Elisha knew that there were angels. Nothing. He knows that the armies that are surrounding everything. So he told the servant, he said, only if you know that they that is demons is greater than, and he prayed that God open it. So he didn't say, Father, open my eyes to see what you are. He already knew that he's surrounded by armies. So there's no way he's going to fret over, you know, the chariots and the armies that have
that
come to carry him away. He had the understanding that he's not alone. So every morning, every afternoon and night, he knows that armies, heavenly armies are surrounding
him.
So no matter the flu shot, no matter the flu, the bacteria, or the organism that is carrying food around. We need to have the understanding that as children of God, there are armies and captains and angels that are around us, surrounding us, barricading us from all those diseases flying around, barricading us from all those, you know, evil that is going on around, barricading us from all those storms that is blowing houses, winds that are breaking down trees. And so we should have that understanding. That should be a word of comfort for us Christians that fear the Lord, that we are not alone. Even though we see ourselves alone in the room, even though we see ourselves alone at our place of work, even though we see ourselves alone driving our cars, we should have the understanding that it is not us alone that move around. It is not our children alone that move around, but the host of heaven's angels are surrounding us. So therefore, we should not be fearful by what we hear and on the news. We should not be fearful of what goes around us, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And if you look also at that verse 8, it says, "All taste and see that the Lord is good." I think that the Gio was talking about something on Friday, and that really resonated to me. He said, we should stop running away from our mountain.
Exactly.
He said, you should confront your mountain. Exactly. Stop running away from your mountain. If you run away from your mountain, how do you want to encourage others that are coming behind you? How do you want to be a positive influence to someone that God has already connected you to help them solve the issues of their life? We should stop running away from mountain. So all these men of God that we hear, that they speak the word of God, they've gone through it. That's why they're able to share on the pulpit. And that's why we that we are listening to them are able to be charged and believe that if God can do it for A, if God can do it for Pastor B, he can also do it for God. You can imagine if they had run away from their mountain, if they did not face the mountain, they would be able to testify and say, I remember those days when I found a tree in the middle of the street and I spoke to the tree, and even though they said the tree was a no-touch tree, but I cursed the tree and the tree moved. So he faced the mountain and got victory, and he was able to talk about that. People, each time he speaks, no matter how much he has spoken it, he's still blessing people. So it is very important for us to know that when things come our way, God, there's a message that God is the passing on to us that we need to receive.
True.
So we should stop running away from our mountain, but face it, so that we'll be able to encourage
others that because are running that will come. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Because that will come too. Usually when we go through stuff, it's for someone that we are going to encourage in the future. It's for someone that you are going to encourage in the future. So when we go through stuff, like she said, there's always a message in every mess. So you see the mess you're going through, it's for you to look back and say, in this mess, I found Jehovah Jireh. Because I was afraid of paying my bills, and somehow, somebody gave a testimony on Sunday that somehow, they didn't know how, but money came for a car, you know? And so many good things happen. So when we go through it, it's for us to just open our eyes and ask, okay, God, what do you want me to learn in this? In most cases, before you even pass through the whole thing, you will find someone who is just coming and needs encouragement. You say, okay, sit down, let me tell you a story. Are you crying because you have $40 bill? Let me tell you how much bill I have, man. You say, okay, sit. I have mortgage to pay. I have this to do. I have it. And I'm still here. I'm not passing. I'm not freaking out. They say, stop worrying. You cannot add a single thing by worrying. There's a song that, there's a song that says, even the sparrow knows that you cannot change anything and God cares about you. I don't know if you know it. Even not the sparrow, he holds tomorrow. You can't change a single thing by freaking out. You know what I'm saying? even the sparrow knows, or something like that. Okay, well, so it's just to say, just to encourage, to add to what she has said. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Because we were talking about, you know, placing our mountain. Well, I pray that God will help us to identify our mountain.
Because you must know it.
We have to identify
what is the problem first.
Like that, it just said, when you identify your mountain,
the problem is how so.
Stop talking to people. Speak to that mountain.
Amen.
Like if it's left for you, you decide whether you want the mountain to remain or you want the mountain to move.
And move to where?
As long as it will take you to speak to the mountain will still be there. But when you speak to the mountain and say, you mountain, you've got to move from this place. And when you command the mountain to move, you have to tell the mountain where you want the mountain to go to. Because if you don't, that means the mountain has no place. So you have to say, you mountain, move from here, go into the sea.
Yeah, call it by its
and
name.
Remain there.
Mountain of sickness, move. You must call it by its name.
And I was coming to church on that white plains bus stop. And sister was talking about, you know, being afraid as Christians. I had been standing there for like 2 hours, and then there was this preacher that came. He just came and was talking to me. And my man was like, so I don't remember you. And I said, these kind of people. The kind of thing that opening up the borders and all of that. You never can tell what is dispelling. My wife said, I won't come and die here for you to come and shake what I've got. I said, I didn't know what I said. I rebuke you.
He's not going to hurt you.
And went out.
Oh, God.
I can't breathe well, too. You want to say, let me to remember. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. See, that's exactly what we... You cannot be afraid of everything. Some people are afraid of their own shadow. Even their own shadow, they're afraid of it. You can't be afraid. You must speak. Confront the mountain. Know it. Call it by name. Okay, you mountain of unemployment. I chase you out into the sea. You mountain of this. God has his own time. In his own time, he makes everything beautiful. But try and identify the problem. Because if you identify the problem, like we said, your problem is half solved. You don't know it. Where are you going to start from? Praise the Lord. Yes, you want to say something?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, the main Bible text we are considering is Old Text. And see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good.
Amen.
And that he will be good unto us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If we look at that verse of scripture very well, we will see that it's the verb taste that we are talking about. There's taste now. There's taste, the verb. It's talking about the verb. It's asking you to actually do it. It's the doing word. There's a taste of something. How something tastes, is it sweet, is it bitter, is it blind? That's the noun. But this one is saying taste. That means perceive it. It's the doing word that the Bible is asking us.
Experiencing what?
Yeah, to experience it. And that's even the definition of that taste. It says perceive it. Experience it. Experience it. Discern the flavor of something. That means it's asking us to perceive how God is. It's asking us to experience God.
Him.
And if you see that scripture again, it didn't tell us which area of our life. It didn't say experience it or taste it in your troubles. Or taste it when you lack. And I guess the reason is that God is, like our daddy said, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. There is no aspect of our life that we desire to taste him that he will not be good to us.
Amen.
Every aspect.
Amen.
Every, is it in our marriage? If we test him in our marriage, that marriage will be good.
Amen.
If we test him in our job, that job will be good for us. In any aspect. And that's why if we turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When God appeared to Moses, and God told him how he was going to use him to liberate the children of Israel. And he wanted to go to Moses wanted to go to the children of Israel. And he asked God, Who will I say sent me? He told him, he said, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am and sent me unto you. The reason is that whatever it is that the children of Israel need, that's what God is to them.
That's it.
Whatever it is.
In present.
Whatever
I am present.
If it is deliverance they need, I am the deliverer. If it is peace they need, I am the peaceful God. So whatever God needs, that's why that scripture is asking us to test him. If we test him in any, whatever it is, even when things are good for us, and we test him in the goodness, it will make it better.
Amen.
Because he says the path of a righteous man shineth more and more and more till the perfect day. Amen. So that's what this scripture is telling us.
Amen.
But again, Psalm 68 verse 19. Psalm 68 verse 19. Is it? Is this Psalm 68?
Blessed be the Lord.
Who daily loads
us with benefits. The God of our salvation.
Is it verse 18?
19.
Check verse 18. Let me see.
You have ascended on
high. Psalm 66 verse 18.
66
verse 18. I mean verse 19. 66:19.
But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Oh, okay. 66:18.
If
66.
I regard iniquity in my heart.
Oh, that's the scripture I was looking for. It's 66:18.
Oh, okay.
We can. This is just telling us, if I regard iniquity in my heart,
which is what we're talking about,
the Lord will not hear me. We cannot taste God in sin. If we continue in sin, we cannot taste God. Because he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that is why Matthew 6:33 encourages us. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then every taste that we want to taste,
will be added
unto it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is telling us we cannot taste him in sin. But if we seek him first, and we seek what pleases him, then in every aspect of our life we want to taste him, is going to be good to us. I pray that as we taste him, may he be good to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, so, sir.
That's just a little contribution that I want to make.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank God.
That's wonderful. Then, do you want to add something?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 21. The evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Just telling us that our God is God of vengeance.
Vengeance.
That fights for his people.
Amen.
That anybody If you are good, God will be good to you. But if you are wicked,
evil shall slay.
That is just what that phrase is telling us. And if you receive verse 22, verse 22 says that Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant.
And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned.
If you are on the God's side, then assure that God will always stand by you, will redeem your soul, will deliver you from anything whatsoever.
Amen.
That is just a small contribution. And if we go to the first, just to buttress that verse 22, verse 19 says, many are
and the afflictions.
But the Lord delivered him out of them all.
Amen.
Just in support of that pastor.
Yes, so that's to say that you will still have affliction.
Sure.
Yes.
No matter how big, how high the mountain may be,
he will deliver.
God is going to show up.
Amen. Like so those are the benefits. That's the last part of the study. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we look at this psalm that David prepared here, or
he wrote, yes.
He wrote, it's just like acrostic psalms. This was when he was in trouble.
Yes.
It is related, if you look at 1 Samuel 21, from 15, from 10 to 15, and up to 22, this was when Saul was pursuing him.
Yes.
In fact, this, David got to it. He got to
Abimelech.
He got to priest Abimelech. Ask him.
Abimelech.
He was hungry. Give me 5 loaves.
Yes.
The man said that the loaves they had is they are hallowed. You know the meaning of hallowed?
Holy.
Holy. I can't give you holy thing. He took off from there. Where did he go? If you read up to 10, he had to run to God. Is it Tarshish?
Tarshish.
Yes. And the king there, they looked at him. They called him madman. He did that thing very well.
Yeah, he acted like he was
he
mad.
He was acting. The behavior. No, he's not acting. If you are in trouble, you will look like a madman.
Affliction makes one mad.
I mean, he never knew where Saul would come out. He was running. And again, if you look at it, verse 1 of 22 says that he took off from there and went to Cave Adullam.
Yes.
That's just to tell you a confused mind. But
problems, affliction.
Is that he knows the God. That is the rendition in this psalm.
Right.
He knows the God that he served. Look at verse 6 of that psalm. He said, this poor man cried
out,
and the Lord had him
and saved him
out of all his troubles. But again, that the prayer mentioned 2 points. If David has not been holy or close to God, it would have been easy, even with the anointing. It would have been easy for Saul to destroy him. But perhaps another person will come. Don't let us kid ourselves. Saul carried anointing.
Yes.
But when the Spirit of God disappeared, what came, even with the anointing he has?
Evil.
Evil spirit. Troubled him.
Yes.
So, what we are learning from here is that for God to answer us, for us, probably in another 2 weeks, I don't want to, because I will be taking this study. You will consider, and I can give the topic now, mouthpiece of God. He was a man. There is communication between him and his
maker. Yes.
There is no separation.
Yes.
And that was why Saul was unable to kill him. Brethren, if there is a separation, there is a problem.
Oh, have mercy.
That a believer or a worshiper will not face trouble, will not face
affliction.
Just write it up. If you don't face any affliction,
check your life.
Thank you so much, sir.
You have to check your life.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Just to support what you have said, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 20 actually say he guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And you have Job as an example of that. In all that he went through, too, God delivered him. It was actually said in the Bible that his latter end was better than the former. So that's just to support what you say. And that's it. Like, if we have time and we just go through that from, I think, 17, we will see that those are the things promised us. You know? Promised us. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. Just to encourage us to keep the race and the faith and everything. In everything we're going, just know that when we cry to him, he will hear us. And the Lord, like, revealed to us, like we all mentioned earlier, know the mountain, call God pertaining the mountain, and he will move it. Because in most cases, it's not by power, it's not by your might, it's not by your doing, it's only by his spirit that can move the mountain. Because remember, you have to remember, we are not fighting against human, like human. We're talking about wickedness in the highest places, principalities and powers. So we need him to move the mountains for us. And he's saying here, 17, that when we cry, he will hear us. He will deliver us from all our troubles. We know that there's troubles in this life now. If we didn't know before, I think we know now. So, but it's telling us, encouraging us, taste and see. As long as you hold on to this God as your Alpha and Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? The beginning and our ending. He's the only one who has the power, the ability to go into your future. Go into your, into the past. Thank you. Into the past. The word just disappeared. Like I'm in an exam hall. Into the past and fix what is messed up. Go into the future, and yet he's still your I am that is present with you. Praise the Lord. And he will guide all our bones, and none will be broken in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. My pastor, and the last question.
Sorry.
Any more questions?
In the past 14, I know our daddies have spoken about the issue of departing from sin and not doing what God does. But if you look at, there are three things, or three, permit me to use the word, three categories of areas that is expected of us to church. It says, one, depart from evil and do good. Okay, there's one thing to actually depart from evil, and there's another thing to do good. And the Bible says, seek peace and pursue it.
Yes.
So, you might depart from evil and not do good, and at the same time, you're not seeking peace, I don't think it will click. I believe from this verse 14, inasmuch as we depart from sin, we also have to do good and seek peace and pursue it. So often than not, we say when something happens to us, we say, well, I've done my part. But when you look at the definition of seeking, and to seek for means to actually find every possible means.
Make every effort.
So even if the person is not, you have to try as much as possible, find every possible means to make peace with whatever or whatever the situation or whatever the person is. So as much as we're departing from evil, not doing what, you know, God expects, what all the commandments of God, we also have to remember to do good as Jesus Christ did good when he was on the earth. You know, help all the needy and all the rich. We need to do good and also seek peace and pursue it. Not only seek, but also pursue it. God will help us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 So, we didn't hear from the pastor yet. And we can round it up.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
I believe that what that is needful and is needed has been said. I think the area that I want to take with all, that I want to take and I want us to take with us is exactly what my pastor just said. Depart from evil and do good.
And do good.
Seek peace. And do what?
Pursue it.
Pursue it. It's very, very important. You may decide to turn a new leaf. But in the process of turning your new leaf,
you must do
are
something.
You doing good to others? You know, you might stop being someone that
it's evil.
You know, do things that are evil. Even sometimes, you might not even be doing it, but your thought towards others have been thought of evil. Maybe you have been able to work on that. But now, there are people around you that are in need. What help are you giving out? What are you doing about it? So, that scripture is not just saying that we should just depart from evil alone. But we must learn to do good.
Even as you depart.
We've had a story about, it was a parable, I hope I'm correct. You know, when a servant was owing somebody money, and his master did what?
Forgive him.
May I ask you, sir, what was it that that person should have done? Should have done good to somebody else. But what did he do?
When I
did evil. He wanted to put the, you were about to be dealt with, but somebody said,
delivered him.
But when he came to your turn, he said, I will deal with you.
Very evil.
And that is the way we are sometimes.
God have mercy.
You know, because all of a sudden, within a twinkle of an eye, he has forgotten.
Yes.
That because of the mercy of God, it was set free. So we must learn to do good. Because it is a lot of time, you know. Some of us think it's because of what I have just done now that I'm
experiencing
that.
Goodness.
The judge of that is God. It might be the most smallest thing that you would do that God would just look at and say, wow. So you can even do that. God bless. This will be released. And we are told to do what? To pursue it.
Yes.
Do it with everything in you.
Peace,
do it.
Peaceable.
And you make sure that as you are doing it, it's a thing of peace. You seek that peace. Because you need it. And if you look at it sometimes, man, when you do something that is good, how do you feel?
It feels good.
Too good. Feel good. You know, you feel, even when you make some statements sometimes, it makes you feel good.
Yes.
When you say something that you have been longing for to say to somebody, and you are able to say it, and it did not become a fight, how do you feel? You feel good. Just like this afternoon, I was out with my boss because, you know, it's that time. But when I enter his car this morning, you know, because normally I'm always driving, so I'm the one that will be driving all over the place, and he will be talking. And there are some things he would like to do, but he will say, I'm in a pastor's car, I'm not going to do that. But today I was in his car. As soon as I entered, the whole place was thinking, smelling. I said,
just drink it.
No, he's smoking. And when we were done, as we entered the car, we were like, it's my car today. So I'm just going to light this up. This is my pastor's car. My personal Mercedes Benz. I work for this smoke. And I'm like, but it's not the issue of me, it's the issue of God. Like, why do you have to bring God into this business?
He wants to enjoy his
Why do you have to bring God into this business? So you're going to delay me. So you know what I'm going to have to do now? I'm going to have to pack. And I'm going to get out. Because I need to smoke. I'm like, do whatever you feel like doing. And then he found the guy and went out. And smoked and he came back and said, are you happy now? Are you excited? I said, I'm excited that I can say this to you. This is not good for you. Don't preach. You've been doing well today.
He doesn't want to hear that.
Today.
Don't preach. But believe me, brethren, I felt so good.
That at least you mentioned it to him. Yes.
And so when we finally got to the altar, you were like, oh, please, let me just take everything out. Since preacher has been preaching, you know, I felt good, you know. So the Lord will help us.
Amen.
The Lord will really help us.
Amen. Amen.
The society, the environment we are.
It's the world so today. Yes.
But keep on, you just need to keep trusting God.
Yes.
Because He's there for us. Yes. And He has a lot of promises for us.
Amen.
We just need to hold on to Him.
Amen.
And at the end, we will end it well in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we will just rise and pray. A little prayer, because this is the end of the Bible study today. But we will pray. We will rise and pray and tell God that we've heard His word again. And we promise Him that we will be humble. We will fear Him. We will do good. We promise Him. It's a promise. We will obey. We've heard. We didn't hear for us to go and hide it somewhere. We heard for a reason. Lord, we are promising you that we will seek you. We will humble ourselves. We will do good. We will seek peace. All that you want us to do so that we can enjoy the benefits in this psalm, we will do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will help us by your own strength. And by your own power, by your own grace, that we do it and do it so that we can enjoy all these benefits. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. We're also going to tell Him that we want to take cover in Him. Take refuge in Him. In this time and perilous time and all this evil that is going on. Because we have promised to do this, we want to take cover in Him. We want to take covering in Him. Concerning us, our whole household, is it our family, our church, your congregation, whatever it is that we have, we want to hide in Him. We want to hide in Him. We want to take coverage. We want Him to be our refuge in all of this. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
And even as we do so, we are going to end that. The last prayer point that we will experience His goodness.
Amen.
We will experience His comfort.
Amen.
We will experience His joy. Father, even as we do that, we will experience your comfort. We will experience your joy. We will experience all that you have for us. Every single promise that you have for us, we will have. In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus'